Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna, God, I love that banana Anderson.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Hava Nagila Weber. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. And today is a very special day because I'm here with Ben, who I'm with every day. And I love it, damn it.
Hi, every Ben, day is special. Every day is special, Ronnie.
You are special just like everyone else.
That's right. Well, I don't know why we're talking all Dallas talk because we're here to talk Real Housewives of Orange County today. But before we do, just a friendly reminder that next week we're in New York to talk Dallas. Look at that, a switcheroo back to Dallas again. That's going to be Thursday the 11th at the Gramercy Theater. It's a huge theater. And I went and I looked at the little seating chart, you know, for like the tickets that are available. And basically there's only like 1.5 or so rows left, maybe 2. But there's not a lot of tickets left, y'all. So go to watchacrappens.com to get the ticketing link for that. And then, you know, in November, we have a Seattle show, which should be awesome. Our first time in Seattle. So excited. And then in December, Nashville will be my first time in Nashville, excluding a layover I once had on Southwest Airlines. So that's all going to be fun. And of course, this Friday, tickets go on sale for the 2019 Crappies, which will be super fun. We did the Crappies last year at the Improv in LA. It was a small room with only like 50 people. We had an amazing time. We had so many guests. It was just hilarious and amazing. And this year we are getting the main room on a Saturday night, which is actually a really big deal to be in the main room at the Improv on a Saturday night. But we got it, y'all, and we're going to have a great time. So tickets for that go on sale this Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. You guys have to come. I think it's going to sell out pretty quickly because the last one sold out really quickly. So that's it.
Do it.
Also, it is the last week to get your head batch t-shirts. So go over to watchwhatcrappens.com or crappensmerch.com. Next week, there's going to be a brand new shirt. And we also have ringtones coming up. We've been a little behind on our ringtones, so there is a treasure trove of ringtones this week going up. You get all those at Patreon, plus our bonus episodes. This week's bonus episodes was deep dive into all the TV that we've been watching that's non-Bravo, all the dramas, the comedies, whatever. Yeah. We have so much fun with those. So thanks to everybody who supports us on El Patreon. And if you don't, get your ass over there and sign up. It's like a whole different show we're doing over there.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really fun. So also fun, Orange County, the whole world of Orange County. I'm still going to talk Dallas talk because I just like talking like Dallas people sometimes.
Yeah. We were talking about Dallas before we started today. So we're really into our Dallas voices.
I mean, I like will dependably drop into a Leanne voice doing nothing. I'll be like going to Starbucks. I'll be like, oh, venti, please. Venti coffee, you know, just for the sake of it. You know,
yeah, I still can't stop Gina from Real Housewives of Melbourne. Yeah. You insignificant ass here.
Well, hopefully someday the latest season of that will air on Bravo. For a moment, it looked like it was going to happen. Bravo put up a little teaser on the bottom of the screen, and then it went nowhere. And then Jackie Gillies herself responded to a tweet that one of our listeners made, and was like, the tweet was something like, when is it coming back? And she's like, well, we haven't been commissioned for another season yet, so I don't know. So,
which sucks. I mean, come on. It's the best show ever. I love that show.
Yeah, come on, Australia. Like, what else are you making down there? Okay? Doing yeah,
get it together over
Muriel's
there.
Wedding, the miniseries. Come on now. So, which I would actually also totally
Priscilla,
watch.
Queen of the Dizzet. It's like our knowledge is like so, so sad.
I know, Strictly Ballroom, the series.
They actually do Swan's do that Crossing. Somewhere. There is a Strictly Ballroom show, yeah. And guess what? I'm never going to watch it. So bring back Real Housewives of Melbourne, damn it.
Yeah. Also, by the way, as long as we're just blabbing about almost nothing, Real Housewives of Atlanta is coming back. The trailer was released yesterday. We are doing a trailer deep dive on Friday. You don't want to miss it. And yes, we will be addressing important topics such as Portia being engaged. So we will be talking about that. If any of you guys are like, why aren't you talking about Atlanta? That's why.
Yeah, we will. Okay, get off our ass.
Yeah, we're going to. Maybe we already have.
Yeah, possibly.
Who knows?
Okay, so now to begin this episode, I just want to remind everybody who doesn't believe in Jesus that you have no moral compass inside of you. Okay,
yeah.
So just turn this show off right now and go figure yourself out.
Oh, and apparently I really bothered someone, by the way, I say compass, because I guess you say compass, but I say compass because I'm from New York. So apologies to people who are offended by the way I say compass. I can't help
it.
Throw
some water on it, okay? Some water on it.
Yeah, there's certain trigger words for me, like Mario. Like I try to say Mario, but sometimes I say Mario.
Well, Mario is the right way to say it, but Ramona's a New Yorker like you,
whoa,
so.
Mario. And then sometimes water. Water, I have a heart. People make fun of the way I say water. And I guess compass. Water. So I guess I also say costume. People always say it's costume, and I say costume. So, you know, these are the idiosyncrasies that just make me, okay?
Yeah. What, do you sit there and watch The Crown and criticize how they talk?
Yeah.
No, that's me. I'm like, why are you talking funny? Because I'm the Queen of England, bitch.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we open up with Vicky. You know, she's gotten Steve some birthday presents from Harley, and I wonder if she paid for them. Probably not, because she basically comes out with Harley on every inch of her crazy face.
Yeah, exactly, because Steve is going to teach Vicky how to ride a motorcycle, so for the occasion, she's wearing a Harley Davidson t-shirt, you know, because she's being very literal, you know? Okay, I'm learning how to drive, so I'm going to put on a shirt that says Toyota. Like, why would you do that?
Hatchback.
It's like you know what bothers it brings up one of my other pet peeves. You know, I have so many pet peeves, and I'm so glad I feel like the last year of this podcast I've really been airing them all out. But I hate when people go to either a sporting event or a concert and they wear a shirt for something that's like if you go to like a Yankees game and you wear a like an Atlanta Braves t-shirt, and the Yankees are playing the Royals. I don't know. And you wear a Braves shirt. It's like, why are you doing that? Like, the Braves aren't playing. It's like, I see you're wearing a shirt that, like, you know, suggests, you know, an awareness of baseball, but it's like, it doesn't really make sense. Why are you doing that? You know,
yeah, it's rude.
Yeah, it's like someone wearing like a Steve Miller Band concert t-shirt. It's like a Dave Matthews Band concert. It's like, well, that's nice. But
yeah,
this isn't
like,
Steve Miller
like
Band.
It's like taking your own Wendy's to eat at McDonald's.
Yeah,
and it's rude.
Like, it's like, okay, you have an awareness of what a concert is, and you're announcing you've been to a concert or another baseball game, but it has no relevance to this. So why are you doing that? Either wear a Dave Matthews t-shirt or a Yankees t-shirt or a Royals t-shirt or just something else. But like, or like when someone what's even worse is when you go to a baseball game and someone's wearing a football jersey and you're like, that doesn't even make sense. It's like, oh, you're at a sporting event, so just all sporting event jock wear counts now? That doesn't work.
I just love the idea of you sitting there in a snit at a sports arena.
Oh,
like
all the time.
Like there's so much going through your head. I'm like, are there 10-cent hot dogs, okay? That's what I used to have when I watched the Diablos play in El Paso. That's all I really go to sports for. If you don't have 10-cent hot dogs, just give me forewarning and I'll stay at home.
I'm always in a snit. That's what you have to know. I'm always in a snit about something. Something, you know, like, it's funny because every now and then I think to myself, I'm going to write a book of essays. And then I'm like, what am I going to write about? All my stories are just like superficial stories about seeing a celebrity in LA. And then I realize I have a lot of these pet peeves that probably have stories attached. And I feel like I really have to mine this territory for my
future. Yeah, that's all I do is complain, you know? Yeah. And I like it. I've talked about on this show, like going to therapy or reading self-help books and becoming a better person. It's horrible. I've done it before. And that's why I never suggest it to anybody on Bravo, because look, if I'm a good person, I have nothing to talk about. It's like, how are you doing today? Good. Nobody wants to hear that. I started losing friends. They started just falling off like flies. Okay. Yeah. We all say we want to be positive, but then we really want to complain about shit. And if you're not going to be able to complain to your friends, then fuck off. You'll go find new friends, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, if you say to someone, hey, how are you doing? And they say, tired, then it's like, okay, shut the fuck up. And in fact, I once read an article in Esquire that said, one rule, never, ever, ever respond to the question, how are you, with the word tired. Just don't do it. Because if you're tired, like, people are like, oh, no one knows how to respond to it. And also, no one cares if you're tired, honestly.
Yeah, everyone's tired, okay? The world's fucking tired. Exactly. Stop your bitching.
You just got to say something happy. Yes.
So speaking of tired, Vicky on a motorcycle.
Oh, wow. That t-shirt really kicked off a lot there. Wow.
Yeah, it really did, that Harley Davidson shirt. The only reason Vicky's wearing that, it's not because she's trying to put you in a sports knit. It's because she got free shit from her. Or she didn't get free shit. She probably got like 20% off something at Harley Davidson. It was like, I made up a TV show. Because you know that's how Vicky does every transaction, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why. So Steve, who's possibly the most boring person on a motorcycle I've ever... It's like giving Urkel a motorcycle.
It's like putting Grimace on a motorcycle. Like an amorphous purple blob on a motorcycle. Great.
Yeah, and he's like, this is going to be real easy, Vic. Just sit on and hold me by the muffin top. And she's like, he's turning 60 this year. You know, one of the things he misses is riding a motorcycle. So I encourage him. Ride your motorcycle, Steve. Ride your... I'm a wife. What do they call him? Not a wifey. An old lady. I'm an old lady now. Yeah. I'm Steve's old lady now.
She's like, I'm a little scared of motorcycles. And then highlight of the episode, flashback to Vicky and Linda at the office talking about motorcycles. And Vicky's like, so Linda, you ever been on a motorcycle? And Linda's like, nah, I don't trust them. You know, I've seen accidents with them. You know, they stop in traffic and the car behind it doesn't see him. And they stop short and hits the motorcycle and guy flies in the air. And when it comes down, someone goes and runs over him. And then a marching band comes over and the bird picks out his eyeball. And next thing you know...
Yeah. Before you know it, lightning comes down and strikes him right in the ear. He's just sitting there shaking on the ground, and then before you know it, God sends a flood. He starts drowning.
And somehow he survives all that, and he sits up and a tree falls right on his face. It's like one thing after another.
Then PETA's mad at him for killing a tree. Aren't they either for saving the seals or something? So PETA comes in and starts stabbing him in the love handles. It's terrible.
Everyone's got a complaint about something else. You know, it's like everyone's got an issues.
God, guys on motorcycles in Orange County are like those goddamn birds beating against it. Boom! Ah, there's another one, Vic. There's another one.
Here's what I gotta say. Well, how about everyone just stays at home? How about that? How about that for an idea? How about none of you get on the road and kill yourselves, okay? Stop being like these dumb birds. These birds have been around for 500 million years, still crashing into windows, okay? If the birds can't figure it out, what makes you think you can? Just stay at home already.
Oh, gotta call on my Bluetooth, Vic. Gotta call on my Bluetooth.
So Vicky's like, no! You know, Vicky's like terrified now.
Yeah.
But of course, immediately insure Steve, probably. So she'll get all of his mom's money or whatever he's living off of.
Yeah, because she hops on the bike and straps her arms around him, and she just immediately starts screaming, which is actually what I would do. She's like, slow down, no,
and special thanks to the people who write the little words at the bottom. What do you call those? God, I'm dumber captions than usual today. Captions. They went no, one at a time on screen.
I think it looks terrifying. I mean, have you ever, you know, like when you get on a golf cart and you haven't been on a golf cart in a long time and you sit down and you're like, oh, it's a lovely little golf cart, and it starts up, you're like, holy shit, this thing's going fast. And it's only going 5 miles per hour, but at like 5 miles per hour, a golf cart feels like you're, you know, when you're not used to golf carts, you're like, holy fucking shit, I'm like not tied in or anything and I'm speeding. So I can't even imagine what a motorcycle feels like. It's probably terrifying.
It is, but I feel worse with the motorcycle. You ride one. Well, I ride a Vespa, which is very different. You know, you don't have to think about gear shifting with your feet and all that. You just like twist it and go, and then before you know it, you're a giant polar bear.
You also have control, whispering through
town on your tiny bike.
Yeah, it's one thing. I also don't have Vicky screaming in my goddamn ears.
Okay, if everybody had a Vicky on the back of them, on the back of their motorcycle, every motorcyclist would be dead. Okay. Yeah. It's like the most dangerous thing to have on your motorcycle is a Vicky screaming in your ears. You have no moral compass! You have no moral compass!
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I once was in Orange County on the 91 freeway, and traffic was stopped for a very long time because there was an accident with a motorcycle, and I don't know what happened, but I saw two little helmets on the side of the road, and it was very scary. So, you know what? I think Linda and I may have seen the same thing.
Well, you know, I've crashed into a window on my Vespa like a bird. So there you go. Just kidding, I haven't. So Shannon is getting ready to go on a trip, and she's just gotten a huge box of pills from Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, Shannon. Bless your heart.
She's like going through her favorite ritual, which is organizing them. She's like, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night, Wednesday. Ha! Ha! I mean, it's Wednesday with my vitamins. Ha! Sophie, did you see?
I mean, vitamin C, probiotics for a healthy flora, Orbitz gum for my breath.
Chiclets, which looks like Orbitz, and a vitamin. Here's Chiclets. An M&M.
It's all candy. It's all candy and gum.
Yeah. Mike and Ikes.
Oh, here's one of my gummies. I always take my vitamins in gummy form. Sometimes they're just not even vitamins. They're just gummies. So here's a gummy bear.
And, you know, fun as ever. She's like, you're going to
watch a show on Wednesday, kids, huh? You're going to watch with your dad, huh? What time is it on? What time?
And they're like, 8. I like that her kids, like, low-key just hate her guts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because she was like, so are you going to be watching on Wednesday when I'm on television? And they're like, yeah, well, we're going to watch it at dad's house. And she just gets this look like, huh.
Well, David's house, does he have a TV? Responsible enough to get a TV? I mean, I don't know if I could trust a man who'd only bring 2 bottles of wine for a dinner party.
I don't know how he's going to see it through those new long bangs of his, but okay. That's great.
Also, what a positive experience watching this with David.
Yeah.
You know, David and his new hoe are just sitting there like, she dropped the fork.
Yeah.
Trashier versions of Tamara sitting there watching with your kids. Sounds fun.
He's probably, like, installed monkey bars in his living room, and he just will go back and forth, like, on them while the TV's playing. He's like, yeah, you want – how about you start doing exercise, Shannon? How about that?
Yeah.
By the way –
he's like,
how about Spartan beer?
By the way, Shannon looks great these days. Have you seen her on Instagram? She is – her weight loss journey is – it looks like it is heading in 100% the right direction.
Well, I think I'm going to need to order some salmon with some cream cheese inside. Cream cheese has probiotics.
Shannon's like, so, would you like me to do some sort of sign while I'm on TV? I'm like, Shannon, I hate to break it to you, but you're already on TV. In fact, you're being filmed at this moment.
Like right now, how I'm having you in this scene so that you'll know that I'm talking to you from the TV while you're watching it on the couch with your father.
I'd love a recursive moment. Ha!
So then they go through the kids' clothes
and stuff
because she's taking Sophie with her, and she tells us like her philosophy on dressing her kids. She's like,
I had my own issues with my mother sparring over things to wear, but today I'm glad she pushed me into that traditional sense.
You look like Madonna just died and like is standing at the gates of heaven and won't be let in this outfit that she's wearing. She's wearing a Madonna/Charo thing on the top of her head, ponytail thing, and then this weird white polyester outfit with a bib. What is this, and who allowed this?
I didn't even notice what she was wearing, white polyester with a bib.
In the testimonial, when she's sitting there doing her testimonial in that white outfit, she's got like a Madonna like ponytail thing and a bib. And it's the weirdest. It's
baby,
Shannon
baby
Bedore goes to heaven.
I'm on the baby diet. It's the coolest thing since keto.
Well, right when you finish grilling your salmon, you'll know it's done because it says, wah, 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 wah.
Which means that David will be ready to date it soon.
So Shannon's like... So Shannon's like,
yeah, well, you know, my approach to parenting is more of discipline and structure. David is more lax. He's just basically a shitty, shitty parent, almost as bad as a parent as he was a husband. Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by bad parenting.
David prefers to parent by the phrase, cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater, had a wife and cheated on her, David. God damn it. God, I don't care. I'm happy.
I'm so happy. But one day my kids will say, wow, she was strict and enforced discipline because she loved us so much. Ha! I'm so loving. David? David, I think it's time to go to commercial. Do you want to go to commercial, David? David? David?
So back to Vicky and Steve riding on their motorcycle. They stop at Trabuco Canyon.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, what do we made it? What do I do? What do I do, Steve? What do I do? He's like, get off the bike, you fucking moron.
He's like, is this heaven? Is this heaven? Did I die? Like Linda said, I'm dead. Oh my God. Heaven's a biker bar. I can't believe it.
Oh my God, please tell me your family's in here having another party for me. Best day ever.
So, Steve goes up to this, like, bar to order something, and she's like, oh wow, look at Steve, he's going up to the biker bar all himself. Look how sexy he is. He's just so sexy going up to the biker bar. He just ordered fries.
Yeah, and he's walking around like, yeah, he's got like that sexy look on his face. I'm like, you're on mom jeans, okay? Yeah. You need to just stop it right now. She's like, I don't know if I'm a big motorcycle rider, but at this point in my life, I'm a compromiser.
Yeah, there's only one biker bitch on the back of his bike, and it's me. Like, makes me sad for the bike.
I'd like to stop calling the biker bitch an old lady, okay?
Harley,
I second that motion.
Harley Davidson just shuts down. They're like, going out of business sale. We've decided we've jumped the shark with our own motorcycles.
Vicky has completely made motorcycles unfashionable. So
we're gonna go into Rascals instead. Harley Davidson Rascals. It's more of our speed now. Biker Vicky, culture is done.
The week that Vicky killed the motorcycle economy. So Vicky's like, well, Steve, now that we've got biking, let's talk about the dinner party I had just to have fun and not at all to flirt with another person while I pretended that you meant nothing to me and I totally cheated the first second I got a chance. Woohoo!
Yeah, so they start talking about Gina's divorce and how she's got to work for it. You know, and at one point she basically says to Steve, am I everything to you? Am I everything? And he's like, yeah, everything and more. Which is also the name of these fries.
You're everything and a bag of chips. No, I mean, will you get me that bag of chips? Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Like, I'm just trying to tell Gina, you know, make sure what you're doing, because she's so young, she's so gorgeous, her breasts are so supple. She's like, who is this again?
She's like, you know, it's the kids are the ones that are going to suffer. I'm like, I think the interior decor in that household has already done enough damage. I don't think the divorce is really going to impact at that point.
Yeah, no kidding. Your kid literally moved to Iraq to get away from you, okay? Yeah. Like, Brianna's walking around downtown Mosul somewhere in, like, a burqa because she doesn't want to talk to you at this point, for all we know, Vicky. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, I think about Todd. Because looking back on our marriage, I just didn't put in the effort. Marriage takes work, you know? I see no effort from Gina. Okay, you not only did not put in work, you were both cheating on each other, Vicky. He called you a stupid bitch in public, and then you were fucking Brooks on the side of some La Quinta Inn in the middle of nowhere at an insurance conference. Please give me a break. The only reason you regret divorcing Don is because you have to pay him alimony, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, exactly. So Vicky's like, I just want Gina to work hard for her marriage because divorce is a forever decision. I'm like, or it's not if you decide to get back together.
Vicky doesn't understand, like, you know, destiny math at all. Yeah. She's so stupid. And Steve is like, yeah, the grass is not necessarily greener. You know, I walked down the cul-de-sac and stuck my penis in someone's grass. And yeah, I ended up coming back to you. Look at you. You're mulch. And here I am still with you.
Turns out the grass isn't always greener. Sometimes it's a pebblescape. And it's beautiful. Have you ever seen a pebblescape before, Vicky? It's great. Can you pass some more of those unsalted chips? Thanks so much.
Yeah, you know what I always say? Sometimes you gotta water your own grass. You don't water your own grass either. Who the fuck do you think you're kidding, lady?
So then something really disturbing happens. We see B-roll footage of a beach and playing in the beach. And then we see, like, this girl's ass, and she, like, walks across the screen, but she sort of, like, she, like, limps and walks very slowly, and her butt is like, boom, 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 boom. And I mentioned this because the editors decided to build a wipe transition around her ass. So as she walks across the screen, we also transition from the beach to, like, Emily's house. But, like, it's this weird ass transition, but it's not even graceful. It's not even, like, some, like beautiful ass that's just walking gracefully by. It's like the person is like limping and then like almost tripped on like a seashell. It's like having issues getting through the sand. Cause you know, we've all been there where you're like, gosh, I feel like I should have gotten a lot farther. This sand that makes me so slow. It was someone who was like unsteady in the sand, and the editors were like, let's make that the transition.
Well, you know that they have an intern working in there because no one on full-time salary decides to like just make a creative wipe on Orange County. You know, it's like someone who's like, I got a master in film and I'm going to make it pay off on this B-roll footage. So congratulations, intern.
Yeah, they had to build like a whole like mat around it.
A mask.
They had to build like a whole mask, which meant they created like a little path where they made little dots all around that ass, and they like, and they feathered it too. They did a feather on the edge so that way it would be a little smoother. So it was like this feathered ass wipe. Literally, it was an ass wipe. When people say you're such an ass wipe, this was an ass wipe transition that was feathered.
Well, maybe the editors are as annoyed with Emily's storyline as us, because we wipe into this new scene where a kid has pooped all over himself and doesn't know how to wipe. So you see, it's really poetry at the end of the day.
You know what? You're right. And I take it all back. You have poop on you.
That was, oh my God, you have poop all over you. Okay, now let's go to Kelly's.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
So Kelly calls up Gina and is like, hi, I'm going to have a luncheon to watch Shannon's show. We're going to watch Shannon's show. You want to come to the luncheon? Good. No doors allowed.
We're
going to
watch it at the Love Shack.
And then we come to Shannon and Sophie. They're headed to the airport, and Shannon has like a conniption fit in the back. She's like, now, Sophie, do you have your carry-on? Do you have it, Sophie? Sophie?
Yes,
do you have it?
Mama.
Carry-on? Do you have it?
Yes,
I don't see it. I don't see it. Where's the carry-on?
I
don't see it. It's where is it?
Mama.
Oh, there it is. Oh. Ooh. Well, I'm so glad you have it. It makes me so happy. The carry-on.
Now, Sophie, now what is this thing about Wednesday where the world's supposed to end?
She's like, they say that every year, Mom.
She's like, well, there's not going to be a lot of sales if the world ends. Is there, Sophie? Is your carry-on in here?
Sophie just jumps out of the car and starts rolling down the freeway.
Well, Sophie, if the world is going to end, you want to have your creature comforts around you. Here lies Sophie Bedore, killed without her carry-on luggage.
Where is that nice conservative jacket I brought you, Sophie?
I want you to dress like Madeline.
So then we get Gina's lunch date with her mom and dad. Uh-huh. And, you know, the dad's like, can I have a tall glass of tonic water?
And Gina's
like, okay, I already love this guy. He's got Meemaw hair. He's got full-on Tyler, Texas Meemaw hair going on.
And Gina's like, oh, I want a hot water with lemon, please. And her mom's like, I'll have a red sangria. So already we can see mama's like, I'm going to party with these two lamos, a tall glass of tonic water.
Yeah. So the mom has to listen to both of these people's shit, because Gina's the one who like wants to cry about the same thing every day. And you can tell the dad is the same way, because he's like, a focus is you and the grandchildren. Listen, my clock is ticking, honey.
I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with him? I was like, oh no, does he have terminal cancer? He's like, I'm going to be retiring early from AT&T.
And then we'll have less options.
Yeah.
Okay? Clock is a ticket. And the mom's like, well, God, can I have a second?
Yeah. So they start talking about the divorce, and Gina's saying how like she and Matt are gonna go to therapy to figure out ways to tell the kids about the divorce and everything. And the mom and dad are like, well, we were shocked. We were shocked when we found out that you were gonna get divorced from Matt. I mean, we thought it would totally work out. You guys living in two different zip codes, and like you not knowing where he actually was, and him not ever wanting to talk to you, ever come and visit you. We are shocked.
I think that if he had really bitten the bullet and gotten Meemaw hair, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now.
And then we saw flashbacks, because they've been married for 40 years. We saw flashbacks of them when they were younger, and Gina's dad was hot back in the day.
I know, he's so hot. Didn't it make you afraid to get old?
It did.
I mean, I guess I am old, but no, not you. I'm old. I'll always be older than you. That's one promise I can make you, Benjamin.
That's true. So Gina goes, you know, it's going to be hard because Matt and I have a lot of mutual friends in Kodo, like the postman. There's this container of orange juice we've been keeping in our fridge for a long time. Sometimes we both talk to that.
The lady at the Pilates place. Know her. We both know her. We both said hi to her. Oh, the girl in the express lane checkout.
Yeah.
Love her. She's a robot.
There's also Joan. She's not a real person. She's just like a cutout they have at the bank by the ATM who says, guess what? You can get a free savings loans and accounts and whatever's. So she's nice. Yeah, a lot of friends.
She's like, yeah, so I met these girls. They're so different than they go on Long Island. Like, these girls that just want to talk about the train wrecks of marriages and their relationship, you know, train wrecks. They're just so jaded. Like, that's all they want to talk about. What about lifting me up, huh? What about lifting me up? Hey, what about not talking about your divorce with a bunch of divorced old crones?
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
And us every 5 minutes.
So at this point, her mom, Sangria, arrives. And, you know, the mom is like, thank God. And she's like, oh, well, this looks beautiful, because it was like a sangria with a strawberry in it and some flowers. But the sangria was like, it was like a thick layer of sangria that seemed to be resting on, honestly, what looked like a big layer of chicken fat. I did not know what was happening. They were like, oh, wow, look, it's layers. I'm like, what? Do you have layers in your sangria? What is that golden layer?
Yeah, that was bizarre. It was kind of like an Arnold Palmer sangria. It looked like it was orange juice or something at the bottom. But how does that lay below the sangria? How thick is your orange juice? It was weird.
Why is your orange juice separated from the rest of your sangria? And why is there a strawberry in there? I am opposed to strawberries and sangria. But that's also because I hate strawberries.
Yeah. So the mom's like, okay, the ambulance is here. My sangria.
The dad's like, speaking of ambulances, I've only got 2 weeks before I decide to
before
move to
I
Orange
donate,
County.
Before I donate to the local ambulance corps. Well, Gina, I got bad news. I only got about a month left on my subscription to EW.
So everybody has been wondering how Gina is going to get divorced, even though her husband doesn't help her anyway. And she does have a backup plan, and that is to have her parents become the parents of the children, which I say, good move, sister.
Yeah, of course. Because
her parents are going to move into town to take care of the kids, which, you know, good you go, girl.
Well, after they heard that there's playgrounds and so many playgrounds that are open all year long, I mean, how could they resist?
The second I heard there's a strawberry patch I could take a shit on, I decided it's time to take 2 weeks and then kill the rest of my work schedule so I could get out here.
Well, the clock is ticking. We only have about a week left before the strawberries in our fridge go bad, so thank God we got this one here on the sangria.
So then we get Wacky Emily's hijinks story of possibly getting pregnant on accident.
Yeah, so Emily is over at her in-law's house, so we get to see Perry again. And the kids are screaming and wild, and they're like banging on the piano, and they're like, huh, kids, oh my God.
Let's have another. Other one.
Yeah.
So she's basically saying, I made an appointment for Dr. Nash. I have 9 embryos left, and I want one more girl because my mom had mental issues, and my sister's the only thing that pushed us through. So I want to give that to Annabelle. I mean, if you really want to give that to Annabelle, then you'd have to go through the same storyline and have mental issues and be a terrible mother. So how about you just be happy with what you have?
Because
your little guy doesn't want another kid, okay? And you can't just show up accidentally with an embryo implanted in you. Okay?
Yeah.
The storyline's stupid.
Yeah, exactly. So Emily tells us to Perry, and then we learn this tragic story that Emily had a lot of miscarriages, and she had twins, and at 4 months, she gave birth to them and lost them, and then she almost died because she lost so much blood, and the nurses were around her crying, and she felt like this is what it was like to die and everything. And Perry is like, you know, well, it was a really sad, really, really sad story. And then we cut back to Perry, who's like, yeah, I just threw out my birth control pills. That's what I did.
And I went, boom! And Emily's like, see, we're both rebels. So Tamara arrives at the hotel to meet Shannon and what's-her-bun Sophie in Philadelphia. And Tamara's just a burst of positivity.
Yes.
You know?
She is great. First of all, she's like, well, we're both off the boot, batch. But now I need physical therapy, batch. And Shannon's like, oh, and how is Eddie feeling? I said that loudly and clearly so you could hear it and see it. And it was on camera, so there was a full record of me showing interest in you, Tamara Judge.
I got you a card. It says, how is Eddie, your husband that you love, that I care so deeply about, Tamara?
I and found Tamara's you like, this single from Eddie Money, which shows how much I appreciate Eddie and Money, and I'm giving them both to you, because I care.
I only had fingernails on the way here, so I've gone ahead and ordered some Munster cheese in honor of Eddie.
I went to Staples before this and got you 10 pairs of scissors, that way you could reenact Edward Scissorhands in honor of Eddie. And how is he feeling?
I was watching Frasier on the plane on the way over here just to see how cute little Eddie is. Oh, God, that dog.
I brought a horse here from across the street, and I put some peanut butter in his mouth, and hopefully he'll begin talking soon. Because, of course, I care about all Eds, including Mr. Ed.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. Now, how is Eddie? Tears.
And Tamara's like, Tamara's like, he had his third cardioversion. Safa, it's worked, batch.
Yeah.
And then we see Tamara. She's like, I had to leave Eddie during his third cardioversion because I came to support your Shannon, batch. And it was really hard.
Eddie's like, she's like, sorry, I already booked my flight. I gotta go to Philadelphia. And he's like, although he actually was probably happy.
He was probably so excited.
Yeah. So then Tamara, so after all this, Tamara's such an underminer. She's like, okay, so are you ready? Like, are you ready for this? You can't mess up, okay? Because if you bomb, well, I'm just saying, just be prepared. Do you have anything in script written down? Do you have bullet points? Do you have a script? Do you have a note card? You should bring a note card. And she's like, I'm better off the cuff, but like, maybe it's bullet points. You know what? I should have a note card. I'll get a note card because of what Tamara said.
But you need to at least have bullet points. Also, a bullet blender. Those are really healthy. Probably healthier than salmon with cream cheese. Do you have anywhere to learn your lines, stupid?
And how is your blender? Note that I'm asking about your blender now. I hear it's a ninja.
Oh. Well, I just hope to ask you back, Shannon, because if you bomb, that's it. You're never coming back here again. They won't even let you back in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're gonna make the Liberty Bell crack even more and then break in half, and everyone's gonna hedge in America.
Don't say bomb unless you're saying you're the bomb, Eddie, which is something I say every day.
And then Shannon, of course, she's there for her diet food, and she's like,
all I have had today is a fingernail and a dream, so let's eat. Let's find some goddamn food. I'm almost eating Sophie's arm off.
Hello, front desk. I hear you have some ginger snaps in a jar. Do you have any available? No? Okay. So that was a callback for Ronnie, because our hotel in Philadelphia had a bunch of ginger snaps in a jar at
the
reception.
They sure did. I bet they don't anymore. I'll bet they ended that practice the second we left. Because I'm like, hi, it's me again. It's like 4 in the morning.
Oh, are these ginger snaps for us? I'll just take one other one. Just, you don't mind, right?
How's Eddie? Okay, thanks.
I was secretly eating a lot of those ginger snaps, hoping that then when the jar was refilled, it would have chocolate chip cookies in it, but it was just more ginger snaps, so
it
didn't work.
Well, they deserve it, because they didn't even have a store, like, within a mile, okay? They had no snack machines. Listen,
they had a Wawa.
I don't know how you people live.
Don't forget Wawa, okay?
I did forget. Oh, no, yeah, but that was far. You have to take a cab. Like, at 4 in the morning, you're going to get your ginger snaps eaten, is what I'm saying. You better get an M&M machine up in here.
Also, there was a fake Barnes & Noble across the street from that hotel, and I was so excited. I had, like, 45 minutes to kill, so I was like, I'm going to walk into Barnes & Noble and look at books. And I walked in, and it was all for, like, T-shirts for Drexel University. I was like, this is not a Barnes & Noble. This is a Drexel University store. I'm so mad.
Yeah, I see those bookstores. You know how every airport has a bookstore? And I'm like, who is willing to hold these things? This is pathetic. Get a Kindle, okay?
Who holds books anymore?
Oh, I should get a Kindle. I should also read. So now we go to truly a wonderful scene in the history of Real Housewives of Orange County. It's Kelly Dodd bringing Jolie to MTA, the Musical Theater Academy of Orange County. And this was just pure bliss. I thought of you, Ronnie, the entire time.
Oh, my God. I thought of me, too.
Yeah. And I was so happy because when we first met Kelly Dodd, Jolie wanted to, like, try out for the musical. And Kelly made her go to tennis instead. And we for, like, 2 years, were like, let Jolie practice her craft. She just wants to be in drama club. Let her be in drama club. And now Jolie got to be it.
Also, I like that she goes to the Metro Transit Authority to learn. So weird. It's like, let's name it after the subways. No one will get it except us. So she goes in there, and Kelly was like a cheerleader in high school and stuff. So, of course, she's just laughing at Jolie the whole time.
She has no idea what's going on.
Which is perfection. She's like, what the fuck are these nerds doing? She's like, dork. She's just in the audience. First of all, Kelly is wearing like a little sailor dress, like she's in a musical. Which was really cute. She's like, is this what gay people do?
I like that, like, Kelly, it's sort of fun when Kelly sort of she doesn't really drag Jolie to do things, but she does often take Jolie on little adventures, and it's, like, really endearing. And so seeing her take her to, like a drama club thing, basically, theater school, was so cute, especially because Kelly was so out of her element, but it was also... So Waiting for Guffman, like when they showed the photo of Jolie the year before in Bugsy Malone, and Jolie was like dressed as like a little flapper. I like could not stop laughing, not at her, but just like because we've all been that theater kid, you know, like being I was a newsie in like Give My Regards to Broadway, and I was all that stuff, you know.
And Kelly's being supportive by showing up in one of the costumes from that show. She's like wearing that and fishnets.
Anything goes.
Oh, and Jolie's so cute.
Yeah,
I love Jolie. So the queen that runs it, because there's always a queen that runs these things.
Jimmy.
And if you send these to, if you send your kids to, you know, the MTA or whatever of your town, and there's not an old queen running it, you're paying for the wrong class. Okay, yeah. You need to find an old queen who's like, we're doing all of it. That's it. It's about a bunch of ungrateful little fuckers.
Let me tell you something. I was in the company of company, okay? I know a few things.
As long as he needs me.
Listen, I was the understudy to the chorus boy in Sunset Boulevard in 1992, okay?
Hey, kid, let's run your lines again, okay?
Okay, sir. Please, can I have some more?
No, you little fucker! All right, do it again.
Listen, I was in the off-off Broadway production of Prelude to a Hug. No relation to Prelude to a Kiss.
So Kelly's like, I was more of a tomboy. You were a cheerleader. We've seen the pictures, ma'am. And she's like, I thought the people who did theater were dorks.
She literally says, you're dorks. They're all dorks. And then she also injects a little bit of shade where she's like, Jolie takes after her dad with the musical theater stuff, you know? And she starts like waving her hand, being like all
spirit fingers. Oh.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, the shade. Also, why do we not have an entire Bravo show about this theater company? Like, I was watching this. I could watch an entire hour of like the whatever it was called, the MTA of Orange County, the Musical Theater Academy of Orange County. Like, I need to watch that.
Yeah, no kidding. Get on it, Bravo, okay?
Yeah.
And then you could still just call it play-by-play. It's just kids' plays.
Bravo, kid-by-play.
Bravo, play-by-play. First, we did Oliver Twist, then we did Anything Goes, then we did Gypsy. I want to see Jolie playing Gypsy.
Oh,
the
my
mom
God.
Of Gypsy, Mama Rose.
So then they have to start doing like warm-ups, and so this like young Annie Potts girl comes out. She's like a 23 year old Annie Potts, and they start doing all this like she and Kelly is just like, oh my God, look at all these dorks. What are they saying? It's not even real words. Why are they doing this? Why are all these dorks singing songs?
Kelly is covering her mouth and cracking up. Like, she is hilarious. I can't believe she didn't start bullying the kids. And Orange County, you know, Orange County, you've got to hand it to this theater company for knowing what kind of kids are in Orange County, because they teach them the basic box step, which, as we know, could be a step in Oliver or a stripper step on a box, okay? Because we see a lot of that in West Hollywood. So, you know, it's training them for lots of different outcomes.
Yeah, and Kelly's like, no, Jolie doing theater, like, performing, that's huge, because, like, she's not gonna be afraid of public speaking, you know? She's not gonna be afraid. Although, I didn't do musical theater, and I turned out pretty much okay. Shut up, you cut fitness!
Yeah, you turned out okay. You're sitting there in a nightgown with your tits hanging out. Okay, Kelly?
Well, it seems pretty okay to me.
But yeah, very confident in it.
So then we go over
and at least she wasn't wearing it to the MTA thing. She's like, it turned out okay! Dork!
Oh, it could be, like, the most amazing Bullets Over Broadway thing of all time, you know? Like, Kelly is basically Cheech sitting in the audience. People don't talk like that. They don't.
So then Gina meets Kelly for coffee.
Oh, my God.
And, she meets Vicky for coffee. Yeah. I don't know why I wrote Kelly. But Vicky. She meets Vicky for coffee. And she's like, I'd like some black coffee. And Vicky's like, Order your own coffee. Okay, woohoo. You just order it up there. Okay, because there's not waiters here. Are there waiters here? Nope, yeah. Still not waiters here. So order it up there. So she orders it, and then Vicky goes, did you get your coffee ordered?
Yeah, there was like a lot of fuss about this coffee. Like, yeah, just order what you want. Order what you want. Yeah, I'm going to order. Okay, you order? You order? Yeah, I ordered. I was going to order, but it hasn't come. But you ordered, right? Yeah, I ordered. Okay, just want to make sure you ordered. Yeah, I ordered. You ordered? You ordered something?
Crazy? Yeah, I ordered something. You have to order your own tea. It's crazy. You have to order it yourself. It's ridiculous. Can we get
the service? They call these sort of places fast casual, which I guess is your approach to divorce, right?
I went ahead and ordered you a meaningless tea. Like, you know, that's what you think of marriage, okay? Drink it up, honey.
Did you order anything in particular, or did you just not really think about it, sort of like your divorce?
I tried to order you a moral compass, but unfortunately, Jesus doesn't work here, so.
Yeah. Apparently, that's not brewed here. Sorry.
But I got two iced teas. What to go? What for here? Isn't that hilarious?
It's almost okay, like I got iced tea insurance for my iced tea.
And she's drinking the to-go one. Fucking Vicky. Because she...
I didn't notice that. I would do that.
Because she knows she can get that one refilled or something. It's like, yeah. Just so Vicky. She's so cheap. Okay, so she's like, taste it.
And Gina's like, well, that's a very interesting flavor. She's like, yeah, it's the flavor of thinking before you divorce. That's what it is.
So Vicky's like, look, you know, I know you left my home crying, and I didn't really understand why, you know, but I don't like to be able to leave my home crying. So, you know, I'm sorry you left my home crying. You tortured her.
Yeah.
Okay. You got the old lady crew and tackled her with exactly. Your shitty judgments, Vicky.
So she's talking about marriage and divorce, and she's like, you know, back in the day, marriage was respected. This generation, marriage is like changing shoes. I'm like, says the woman who's been divorced twice, by the way. Come on now.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, well, my parents are in their early 60s, and they're celebrating 40 years. He goes, yeah, you know why? Because divorce wasn't an option for our parents. It was a different time. It was a time of, you know, cleaning your teeth with dinosaur bones and, you know, chasing Fred Flintstone down, asking, do we get another Danny Goy with that redheaded bitch?
You know, Fred Flintstone never got insurance for his car, which is ridiculous because it fell over every single time he put a rack of ribs on it.
I know that the movies didn't really have any words when, you know, we were young, but I'd like to think that if they did have words, they wouldn't just be saying, I'm divorcing you!
I just want to protect you for what's in store, you know? And so, and basically then Vicky tells Gina that she's being selfish. She basically says, stop being selfish because, you know, she's thinking about her relationship instead of the kids. I think there's a strong argument saying that the kids would probably be better off with the parents happy than the parents miserable and stuck together.
Yeah, I mean, the dad's gone anyway. The dad left a long time ago. Yeah. Let's just all be honest about this, okay? Please. Gina's just now admitting that her husband has left her. Like, this has already happened, okay? Yeah. Let's stop pretending that this is some choice that Gina's making.
Exactly.
So she's like, yeah, but it really hurt my feelings when you said I don't have a moral compass. And she's like, oh, I don't really remember that. But, you know, it's about the kids.
Yeah, it's like, and like, you just, you don't want to, like, you have to really think about it, you know, like, you know, sometimes you just have to put in the work. Like, I needed to water the grass I was in with Don. It's like, oh, okay, the grass thing. Like, you thought of it the other day, and you're so proud.
Okay, look, here, I think that you need a gardener, and I need a nanny. Okay, solved, solved, problem solved.
So then she, Gina really is smart enough to realize that Vicky just wants a chance to cry about herself. Because
yes.
When Vicky's conversing with you, she's not listening to a fucking thing you're saying anyway. She's just looking for an end to talk about the casserole that she deserves.
Yeah.
So she starts crying because Gina's like, now look, I know it was really difficult for you and your divorce was hard. And it's like, ding, ding, ding. It's like, yeah, I broke down tight. And I don't do that. I'm not a heartbreaker. You know?
I didn't have a watering can. I didn't have a watering can.
If I could have turned it back 8 years, I totally would have done that. I totally would have done that. It's like, yeah, but you're happy and you're so good at insurance. It's insane. So don't be hard on yourself.
I like that's the way to get Vicky out of a funk. You're so good at insurance. You're so good
it works.
At it.
You got let Vicky cry about her own divorce that she fucked up on her own, and then you got to compliment her on insurance. It's like you have a friend for life now, you know.
Yeah, and Brianna's like, well, I'm sorry, Vicky's like, well, you know, Brianna said, I think our generation's so messed up because you all, like, basically Vicky's generation, all got divorced, and most of our friends' parents got divorced, and now Brianna's generation's messed up. You know, I don't know if it's really about the divorce. I think it's just like being the daughter of Vicky.
Yeah, no kidding. I think it was the family van monologue.
Yeah. Okay. Also, Brianna says she's not allowed to use the couch on Tuesdays.
Also, if it's so hard for Brianna, then why does she have such a strong marriage? I think she's fine.
Yeah.
I think this worked out. So Vicky's like, yeah, she has this cute little notion. She's going to live in her house in Kodo and have all these classes. But she doesn't work. Like, Shannon doesn't work. And, like, Kelly doesn't work. And look at Shannon. It's not easy. Oh, yeah, look at Shannon. She's on QVC right now. Biatch!
Yeah, she sold 1,100 units. So there.
Ha!
So then anyway, Vicky's like, well, speaking of working, I gotta go back to work, which is what I like to do, and that's what I do so well, according to you. So I'm gonna go do that right now. And by the way, you're gonna need health insurance, so you need a policy? You want a policy? Okay, great.
And Gina's like,
sure, I'll give you my $12.
So then
Gina
we go to
does
back-
sort of have like that 80s sitcom look to her, where you can imagine her, like, it would be feasible that every Gina scene would end with her cradling her head in one of her hands and just rolling her eyes at the camera like, oh God, this one again. And the audience laughs and then claps and the music plays and we go to commercial.
Yeah. So then we go back to Philadelphia and the restaurant hunt has led to the hotel lobby bar.
Yes. And we get a very similar cocktail order from this group of Sophie, Tamara, and Shannon. I'll have a hot water, please. And Sophie asks for a sparkling water, and Tamara asks for a vodka soda with cranberry and limes. So once again, a sparkling beverage, a hot water with lemon, and a red alcoholic beverage.
And one waiter who's going to make $0 today. So thanks, guys. Thanks for coming in.
So Tamara's like, hey, David sent Eddie a picture of his new ride. It's a Porsche. How do you feel about that, Shannon? Your ex is talking to my husband. Oh, sorry to bring that up the night before your big show. Sorry.
Yeah, that's so her. Not only did he buy a new Porsche and not tell you about it, he's talking to Eddie. They drove the Porsche. How do you feel about that?
Hi, bitch.
Yeah.
And Shannon's like, well, somebody took it for a spin. Her name rhymes with Lofi.
Was that your choice, Sophie? Ha! Get it?
And then Tamara's like, oh my God, you took his car out for a ride and he didn't catch ya? And Sophie's like, I was pulling into the garage and then the mirror just like went like that.
Tamara's like, so you knocked the mirrors off the cars? It's like, no, it just bent it. I'm like, of course Tamara like takes, perfect example, by the way, for anyone who hears a rumor from Tamara, notice how she took one piece of information and embellished it and made it sound 10 times worse in a second. And Sophie's like, no, I just bent the mirror. I didn't knock it off the car.
Yeah. She's like, so Shannon came out with a baseball bat and knocked the mirror to the ground and said, fuck David and everything he stands for?
Shannon reenacted that Carrie Underwood song about bashing in the windows of a car? That's so strong.
So tell me, did your face hurt after your mother threw a brick through the window of your dad's new Porsche and hit you in the face with that?
Was it scary when Shannon walked away from the car stridently and then it blew up behind her?
Tamara's just sitting there trying to start all sorts of shit, and Shannon's just prepared for her. Like, Shannon seems to just accept at this point that Tamara's an awful person, but she's committed to being friends with this awful person. So she's just going to do her best not to let it get to her. Yeah. Even though Tamara's going to do everything she can in this episode to undermine Shannon.
Exactly. So now it's the next day at QVC. Shannon, Tamara, and Sophie arrive. We meet Shannon's friend, Marcy. And we also meet a QVC executive named Adina, who could possibly be played by the woman who played Jan on The Office, if you ask me.
Oh, I was going to say the chick from Mad TV who plays Stewart's mom. What's her name?
Oh, yeah. Or also that woman who was in Swimming with Sharks. I got to look her up now.
Like, we're both Mad TV. I know, it's like, ticka, 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 ticka. Yes, I want to leave that page.
Michelle Forbes. She could be, this woman could be played by Michelle Forbes also. Look up Michelle Forbes.
Okay, hold on, I will. One second.
I'm
going to
say Michelle Forbes. Who I love,
no, the where's the cast? Why doesn't it say cast? Okay, cast. You know what? Go on with this scene while I look this up.
And I want you to look up Michelle Forbes while you're at it, by the way.
I know who Michelle Forbes is.
Isn't she great?
Yeah, she's really good.
I feel like she's underappreciated. But guess what? She goes in the Linda Fiorentino sack of ladies who are underappreciated but who I love.
Well, I'm thinking of Mo Collins.
Mo Collins. Yes, that's another good one.
And she even has that, like, when Mo Collins plays a bitchy rich lady or whatever, she pulls her hair back really tight in a ponytail. Yes. This lady even has that personality. She's like, I don't think we're going to let Shannon open the door. That should be a host thing. I think this is just a little too much for Shannon.
Yeah, I think this woman is definitely on that spectrum that includes Michelle Forbes, Mo Collins, Melora Hardin, and Cela Ward. That is for sure.
Yes.
Because they're all the same, basically.
Yeah, so Michelle Forbes always plays like a crazy hooker bitch. Well, she was on The Killing, and so I've watched Michelle Forbes sob because she was the mom of the kid that got killed, and every episode for 2 seasons was Michelle Forbes sobbing.
Oh, well, she was very... She had a turn on 24 where she was very austere, and she had an untimely end that I feel like was never quite avenged. Like, it was really not cool what happened to Michelle Forbes. Actually, she didn't really die. She just was pushed down a staircase, and then, like, we never really saw her again. And then she tried to point to the person who did it, and then the one guy, like, put his hand over her finger and was like, there. It was so mean, and she never got her justice. But, and she's also in Swimming with Sharks, which... I won't say
and True Blood.
Yes.
Okay, so hey, they Michelle arrive Forbes, at QVC.
So and so, yeah, so, so Shannon is, like, on the little set, the QVC set, and she's with the food stylist, and she's asking the food stylist, like, what is she pulling out? The food stylist is already pre-plating a bunch of the salmons, but there's going to be, like, one that's going to be in the microwave, and Shannon's like, so now, which one are you going to open up, and which one am I going to open up? And the food stylist is like... There's one behind you in the microwave that you actually open.
You're going to have to open the second one. You're on your own for that one. Good luck.
I was like, this Bustalis is having a ball. Like, what? Why is she so excited? Is she playing a prank right now? And I think ultimately we found out that she was.
Yeah, well, kind of. If they all think that Shannon's just a big fucking moron. Now, granted, I've watched QVC, and I understand that there are lots of morons on QVC.
Yes.
I can get how they would think, like, oh my god, we cannot let Shannon have scissors and cut open her own product. This could all go to hell. You know, but they're acting like, oh my god, she just isn't going to be able to cutting open a package? Oh!
Yeah, because they're like, alright, Shannon, so there's going to be one that's going to be in the microwave, and you have to open it, but you can't turn your back to the camera, so why don't you practice a few times? She's like, okay, well, seems simple enough. I'll just rotate very slowly. I'm at a 3/4 angle, and oh no, 5/6, oh no, oh, 180 degrees, what happened?
And Tamara's like, don't make that face, stupid.
I can see your back, you're turning your back to me, bitch. You can't even open up a microwave by yourself, bitch.
This is a huge moment for Shannon. She has to open up a microwave that's behind her, but not turn her back.
Shit didn't even know what I was in your tenement, bitch!
Okay, let me just try this again. I'm gonna approach it from the side, and I'm going to... Okay, let's hit the button, let's open it up. Oh, no! I pushed from the wrong side! I can't open it without hitting my own arm! Oh, God! Aqua Television! Oh, no, I'm turning around again! I'm around! Fully around! Oh, there's my back!
You know what would make this taste better? If the fork was warm as well. I'm gonna go ahead and put this in the microwave.
Does anyone have a cat? I feel like that'd be a nice like surprise. Let's put a cat in the microwave.
Oh, QVC just blows up.
Yeah, Adina is freaking out. Like as you said before, she's like, I don't think she should be going in the microwave. I think it's a lot. It's a lot. Maybe in the future we can elevate to that point, but for like right now, no.
And she goes, Shannon, no microwave, Shannon. No,
we're not gonna. No we're microwave. Not gonna.
We're cutting
we're,
that.
We're cutting not that. Gonna do this. Uh-uh. You know what? It was actually giving me very fond memories of Susie Fogelson back from the prime of Food Network star. Because Susie Fogelson, she just would have, like, dropped the pen in her hands and, like, raised up her hands like little fans. Be like, uh-uh, this is uncomfortable. No.
Yeah, yeah. You're way too stupid for even this show.
Yeah.
And then the other lady's like, too many variables, hon. Too many variables.
There's a door. There's a plate. There are buttons. Goes,
so we're going to have the host pull out the food because, you know, what can't Paige Davis do? And then you can speak to it. I'm going to speak to the food.
And then you're going to hand it to me? Are you going to hand it to me? Or, like, is it a...
No, we're just going to put it on the table, honey. That's what we're going to do.
Oh, so I guess I'm not good enough to open up a microwave door. According to David, that's the only thing I can do is open and close things like a relationship.
So you want me to speak to Salmon? It's like speed dating all over again.
Huh. Well, maybe I should just make a bowl of quinoa, because that will apparently disappoint everyone also, according to David.
So then she practices, and she's like, this salmon has been divorced because his wife didn't really love him. Who doesn't want to stuff him with cream cheese? Who doesn't want that?
You're like, we are. The lady goes, we're live on the other set. Now if they say they don't want you back, at least you know why. And Shannon's like,
yeah, that's
crazy.
Funny. Huh. That is funny.
Oh, so, sorry. I'm like, excuse me, QVC, why are you live and you have a full-on reality show filming on the other side of your live set? Are you crazy, QVC? Is this what we're paying you for?
Yes, because QVC has one of those big, gigantic tourney sets that's like in Disneyland where you just sit there, but the set turns. So, you know, it's like a Trivial Pursuit pie. You just wait for your color to come up. But
like, right. I'll be very quiet. I don't want to interrupt Paige Davis over there. And cream cheese! Wow, who doesn't want that on their salmon?
Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you.
That was Lisa Rinna on her set. Please be quiet.
Oh, no, here comes Isaac Mizrahi. He's angry. Okay, you know what? This has to stop right here. No more cream cheese. We're not having cream cheese. We're not having salmon. We're selling dusters. And if you can't deal with that, you better go to HSN, okay? Huh, well, at least he didn't tell me to go to Shop NBC.
So Kelly is getting ready for her party at the Love Shack with her teenage helper, Jack, who she's picked up from musical theater class. She's like, Jack, put some cheese on a plate. He's like, please, sir, I want some more of that.
He's like, can we hurry this up? Because I have to go through my lines for Oliver. I'm playing
like,
wench number three.
As long as you need me.
So the girls start coming over, and I like Vicky walks up the staircase. She goes, Jesus. She's not gotten used to Kelly's Love Shack yet.
No one is used to it. I love the look on everybody's face as they come out the spiral staircase.
Yeah.
They come up the spiral staircase. So they FaceTime Shannon, and Shannon's like,
what? Yeah, I just talked to a salmon, and it was not bad.
It was actually a very fulfilling experience. I recommend everyone do it. But I've also gotten Lisa Rinna very angry at me, and I'm very concerned about what she will do for vengeance.
Do you think that's a wig? Yes or no?
And Kelly's like, I like your blazer. I styled her. I styled her with the blazer.
No, she doesn't look like a dork. She doesn't look like a dork. She's chic. She's chic. So then Gina comes over and she's
with
like
a backpack.
Yeah. And she's all subdued and she's like, hi, yeah, my parents are here, and it's like, it's really helpful, you know, and I'm so happy that they're here. But you know, it's that thing where, like, halfway through the trip, you start to get sad because you know they're going to leave. And Vicky just goes, all right, let's just cheers to Shannon. Let's just cheers to Shannon. Like, no one wants to hear her.
So then Shannon is getting her makeup done and basically just getting ready to go.
I feel like I have no foundation on. I have no foundation. Especially now that David has left me. I truly have no foundation. Is it dark? Is it army? Oh, now I'm messing it all up. That Simon will never talk to me again.
Here, yes, that's Batch. It's a Sharpie.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. What happened to my face?
No idea, Batch.
Dip it. Dip it. So Shannon is like, oh my God, I'm sweating so much. Hot flashes. So she goes to the stage, and meanwhile, the girls are waiting for her to come on QVC, and Gina's like, oh my God, my parents smooched in front of me. I was like, gross. And Kelly goes, oh, you know what happened to me? I came home from college, and everybody's like, no, Kelly, no. No.
You stop it, Kelly. And she's just getting more and more excited.
And she's like, I saw my dad eating my mom out.
Yeah. I'm so glad you girls appreciate it. They really didn't like the story at MTA.
They just start throwing themselves off that balcony one by one.
So Shannon's now like a few seconds from going live. She wants her deodorant, etc. And so Tamara's backstage. She's like, I'm nervous because Shannon earns goes for the negative. I'm like, yeah, look, especially when talking. You have an underminer. Also, yeah. I also feel like, you know, on Food Network Star, they do this a lot where, like, someone will be presenting and they'll be like, I really like asparagus. I like it a lot. And, like, I know some people think that asparagus is super gross, but I like it. And whenever they say, I know some people think asparagus is super gross, they cut to Jada, who starts to scowl, and the music goes, like, bomb. And they're like, you went negative. I'm like, you know what? We're all adults. And I think it's very relatable to say things like that. And it can't always be perky, like, here's asparagus. Now, you may have thoughts on asparagus, but it's really tasty. Like, we can hear it. We can hear someone say, I know some people think asparagus is gross, but this is really good. It actually gives me more faith in the asparagus recipe.
Yeah, duh, stupid Tamara. And Tamara's like,
but I'm a bit positive. I'm not talking about the weight. No one wants to hear about your weight.
I'm like, it's a weight loss product, you fucking dildo, okay? It's like literally a product for her to lose weight and empower women to lose weight. Tamara.
So Shannon, she opens up like, well, welcome Shannon Bedore. She's like, oh, hi, I'm Shannon Bedore. And in case you don't know me, I've been on a little bit of an emotional roller coaster the past few years. I've been crying into a sock. It's been dramatic. It's not even my, I don't even know whose sock it is. It doesn't belong to Archie, that's for sure. Anyway, I've been crying into the sock and eating Cheetos for 3 months straight. I've been very sad. But then I found out about salmon. It turns out salmon is low-cal and very forgiving, just like I was to David when he cheated on me.
And it's like, ding, 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 you know, because he's not sad. So everybody's like ordering it. And Kelly's like, I love the jacket. And then it cuts to Tamara. She's like, I don't like that jacket or the shirt. Stip it.
It's too small. Too small.
And then Shannon drops her fork, and so she bends over to pick it up. And Tamara's like, oh, God, she's picking up a fork. What a loser.
Yeah, the music's like, boom. It wasn't the fork that fell. It was her little note card. The note card that Shannon wasn't even going to use until Tamara put it into her brain.
Oh, good call, stupid Tamara. So then Tamara's like, dump it over live TV. This is not good. I'm like, you or naked in a bathtub on. Like, could you put your boobs away, okay? Put them away.
I think that me as a watcher of television will survive watching Shannon Bedore bend over to pick something up. Like, I think it's okay. It does not take away from the appeal of the salmon.
Yeah, just leave Shannon alone, okay? She's going to sell this shit because she is Shannon, not because she's you, Tamara.
Yeah.
Fucking possum face loser. So the host is like, hey, you didn't just decide, hey, salmon. I like you. You went through really rough things in your life. Tamara's like, well, she's leading her down the path of fatness. What? And Shannon's like, well, you know, I got this going on, that's for sure. And she grabs her fat, and Tamara's like, no!
All I want to do is eat my salmon with cream cheese. It's like a bagel and cream cheese with no bagel and no lox, just salmon. Just uncooked salmon with cream cheese that'll give you many diseases. Did I go negative?
And then the kid even goes, where's her Spanx? Like, oh, don't let your children hang around, Tamara.
You see what this is? This is one night at a Philadelphia hotel with unlimited ginger snaps all around my waist, right here, right now.
Hi, I like to call this part of my body the Golden Corral.
So the only part that Tamara was supportive of was Shannon goes,
if you make healthy choices, you make healthy choices, and then you can have that cocktail on the weekend. And Tamara's like, yeah, there she goes, cocktails, that's what people want.
It's just back on message. Now, thank you for having me on QVC, and now, you have to remind me, what does this stand for? QVC, does that stand for quietly very sad? Well, then I am your target audience.
Quivering very coldly. That's how I felt for months now.
Quite voluminous. Shannon, that's my name, QVC, quite voluminous Shannon.
So the host is like, you know, some people come in here and they're amazing. Some people come in here and they're not so amazing. Some people come in here and they can figure out the microwave trick, because you know that is the trick. But you came in here and you were amazing. Okay. And then the ladies are all cheering.
Yeah. Adina's probably like, that was great. That was great. And next time we're going to elevate you to a place where you don't have to bend over for your notes. We'll actually test you on the teleprompter and see how you do holding a butter knife.
Next time, we're just going to have a cardboard cutout of somebody, possibly Julia Roberts, with their head missing. And you're just going to place your head over theirs. Okay.
We may also put up a diagram of a salmon. A happy salmon in the water. You know, we may just roll some stock footage of a bear at a stream just pawing at a salmon.
Oh, just like my marriage. Ah!
Okay, let's nix the bear salmon footage. Thank you.
So the girls call and congratulate her and stuff. And Tamara's like, wow, you really almost fucked that one up, stupid.
I have to say that when they call Shannon, did you hear her FaceTime ringer? It was like, bong, 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 bong. It was like all church bells. I was like, of course, she would have like memories of church before FaceTime. Like,
I think that I am going to sex. So, oh, no, church. Will not do this. Conservative.
Yeah.
I haven't heard these church bells ringing since I was married today.
So the girls call her, and then Vicky's like, oh, I'm going to call her to order. Hi, it's me, Vicky. I have two items, and they're the Shannon Bedore salmon and the Shannon Bedore. I dropped a fork, oh my God. And I'm Shannon Bedore's friend. And the lady's like, okay. And then she hangs up on Vicky, which yeah. I'd like to think happens whenever Vicky calls anybody ever.
Yeah, exactly. Like Applebee's is like, oh, it's Vicky again. And then Kelly tries to do it, and then also she's like, oh, I'm Vicky Gunvalson. And she's like, click, you know. So I liked Shannon backstage. He's like, oh my God, this is crazy. You know, it goes by so fast. It's almost like a marriage. It's so fast. I didn't get everything out. And Tamara's like, yes, you did. You did great. You even mentioned your belly. You even grabbed your belly, bitch. Like, underminer. And then Shannon's like, oh, I've got so many people texting me. It's amazing. I mean, look at this one from 876-76. It's that's just my Spectrum bill. Okay, let's see. What's this one?
You have to pay for cable?
Huh?
Oh, apparently I've earned a free yogurt at Yogurtland. I guess I did that well. Oh, no, that's just my rewards program. Okay, so no one's really texting me, but you know, it's nice. It's nice to win things once in a while.
The shot of all the QVC ladies hunched over the computer was so funny to me. It's like all these ladies just like, oh my God, what's happening? What's happening? What's the sell? What's the sell? Did we put too much on her? Did we put too much on her?
Oh, I knew we shouldn't have had that microwave there. You know, it has a microwave. It's stressful.
Shannon, hon, have you considered a raw food diet?
Very casually we hear Kelly in the background, by the way, say we should celebrate with a girls trip, which is like the little seed that the trip is coming up soon. And then
I can't believe so many episodes have gone by. This is number 11 of the season.
It's number 11 already?
Yeah. This was number 11, which is crazy. True.
That is fast. Wow. And then we learn that, so by the end, at the end of the episode, was it the shrimp dish or something? Basically, Shannon sells...
Yeah, the Serp is the biggest seller.
Yeah, she sells 1,100 units in 8.5 minutes, which, you know what, good for her. And honestly, I know this is going to sound very self-serving. I'm not trying to be self-serving, but, you know, I will say, like, that is such a happy feeling. Like, we get that when we do our tickets for our shows. See, I told you, it sounds self-serving. I'm really not trying to, I'm not trying to be like that, but this is a genuine thing. Whenever we put the tickets on sale for our shows, when they, like, sell like that, it's like it feels amazing. So I was honestly truly happy for Shannon in that moment.
And you know what? This is what Ben has said every time we've sold out a show. He turns to me and he goes, "Well, I've lost a marriage, but I found myself." And then we hug.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Orange County. Speaking of selling out shows, go give Ben that special feeling inside and go buy some tickets.
Thank you.
New York still has one row left, people. Okay, this is Thursday night in New York. Go get that last fucking row. Stop making us talk about this every day. Go get it.
I know. I'm sick of it.
That show will be a Real Housewives of Dallas recap, which is going to be hilarious because it's a wig episode. And we love some Dallas wigs.
Yeah.
And then Friday, we're going to be doing the Real Housewives of New York Go to Morocco. It's number 10 of that season. Right,
season
Ben?
4. Season 4, episode 10. It's called Last Call Morocco, I think.
And then in November, we're going to be in Seattle. Those are almost sold out as well, so go buy those. And then Nashville is close as well. We're getting so close, guys.
I
go
know.
Sell us out.
We're
we
really
feel like
edging.
Losers. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually, like, I also looked at the map on Nashville, and basically almost the entire main area is sold out, and now there's just, like, because City Winery, it's like you sit at tables, like comedy club style, and it looks like there's, like, probably, like, 5 or 6 tables left.
Yes, and City Winery is sometimes a tougher sell because that's like a food and drink place, so people freak out about it. The food is delicious, and obviously the drinks are delicious, so and it's a beautiful venue, so get there. And then we our tickets for the annual Crappy Awards go on sale. That show is going to be humongously fun. We're going to have tons of special guests like we did last year, but in a way bigger venue, so go get those.
Those
go on sale Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So go get those. There's only like 150 or something of those, so you got to get those fast. And then guess what? It's Christmas time, and we're going to be partying, but we don't need to talk about that right now, okay?
Yeah.
So we will talk to you tomorrow for Real Housewives of Dallas. Also, go get
your tomorrow. Headbatch, you're wrong. Tomorrow is the Below Deck season premiere.
Oh, you are right.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And then Dallas is on Thursday. Can't wait. Dallas is on Fuego this season.
Yes. Okay, everybody. We sure love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.